This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. We are getting into the 2070s in our future history today. The Archmage's History of the Future continues on Glow in the Dark Radio. Turns out a lot goes on about 50 years from now. The Archmage's History of the Future picks up with only one decade this episode, but it's a jam-packed one. The 2070s. The commercial combined corporate entity known as the Universal Trade Zone and its council of CEOs have just about taken over Earth now, entirely, including most of the stations in Earth orbit. They have pushed their opponents, the UIN, the Universal Islamic Nation, to the moon and Mars. The UIN's hold on Earth is tenuous at best, and a destruction early in the decade may sever even that slim hold. You'll get to hear about the project, a UTZ think tank and research group that develops a faster-than-light drive, the Transspace Drive. That happens in this decade. And handheld lasers, too. Gotta love that. Lasers. And there's a Christmas in this decade. The UIN will hold against the UTZ for years to come. It's all ahead in the eventful 2070s, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. As the dog days of summer are barking at our heels, I don't have a whole lot of news, but I do want to remind you that the Alibi Jones audiobook is free everywhere except for Audible. You can get to listen to that for free. And the Vatican Assassin ebook, the 15th anniversary ebook, is also free everywhere except for Amazon. Also out there now, The Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus. You can find that now at Amazon and for your Kindle. And there's more details on everything at glowinthedarkradio.com. Part of the way that this podcast carries on is with support from patrons through patreon.com. If you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, you can become a pledging member of this podcast for $2, $5, or $10 a month and help support my efforts. Don't have to. This is absolutely free. But if you'd like to, there is that option. You can also go to glowinthedarkradio.com and just look for the link to Patreon beneath the podcast link. Up next, we are getting into the 2070s and the Archmage's History of the Future on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
The Archmage's History of the Future on Glow in the Dark Radio. 2070 to 2079. By 2070, the UTZ had thoroughly regained control of Earth orbit. They pushed the UIN back to the moon and took over UIN countries on Earth, taking back territory in Muslim hands for centuries. Istanbul was renamed Constantinople, then Byzantium. With the Christianization of the UTZ, the Pope began consulting with UTZ leaders and the leaders of what was left of the world's governments. They relied on his endorsement of their efforts to keep up the campaign against the UIN. The United Nations had nearly dissolved, only occasionally meeting for ceremonies and pomp, and so the Pope offered the only recognized universal authority for UTZ countries. The PTC was not influenced by the Pope's opinions, but still respected him, as his opinions still impacted their countries. Ecumenical movements among the varied Christian churches began to pick up momentum, spurred by their common cause against the UIN. Ayatollah Aziz was nearly killed in the nuclear blast that destroyed Mecca in early 2070. He was on a secret pilgrimage to prove it could still be done. Another old Soviet device was used in the blast. Aziz, who had been approaching to land, avoided the blast and flew on to join the Prophet's fortresses at the L7 point, then hopped a bullet ship to Mars, evading UTZ authorities. Other Muslims began leaving for the Red Planet and the last secure UIN holdings as well. The UIN Mars holdings were self-sufficient thanks to hybrid Japanese UIN technologies. Hajj became impossible with Mecca reduced to glass, and the Islamic world began relocating to Mars. The Muslim population began mass exile from the Earth, escaping however they could. Several Islamic orbital platforms, the surviving Prophet's fortresses, congregated at the L7 point throughout 2070 and 71. The UTZ began attacking the UIN holdings on the moon as well. The Prophet's fortresses became the last refuge for vast numbers of Islamic citizens. By the end of 2071, resurgent UTZ forces had driven UIN forces off the Earth entirely. The military arm of the Muslims could no longer protect the Muslim population on Earth, and the UIN withdrew from the moon by the end of 2071 as well, cutting losses and moving all operations to Mars. The UTZ took the moon back under control, gaining scientific knowledge developed by the UIN and technology more advanced than the current UTZ standard. The moon was an easy victory for UTZ Federals and PTC police. They overwhelmed a token UIN force. Most of the Muslim population had left already, moving on to Mars or New Basra Station, as they called one of the Prophet's fortresses at the L7. Without the moon, New Basra became the UIN's only link between Mars and Earth. 2072 saw the renewed UTZ presence reinvigorate the moon. The new Reagan Station became a hub for scientific research, as UIN and UTZ technologies were reintegrated. This time there were no illusions as to what organization controlled the moon and Earth orbit. The UTZ was firmly in charge. Most of the Earth governments controlled their own territories, but any international activity was the domain of the UTZ. The PTC provided a token separateness for some countries, but for the most part, Earth was the domain of the UTZ. In mid-2072, UTZ scientists on the moon developed a computer model for a faster-than-light propulsion system they called a transspace drive. The model was tested, and the project greenlighted to construct an actual working model. Miniaturization of power sources allowed for the development of handheld lasers. These guns, originally intended just to stun, hit the black market and were turned into deadly weapons by criminals. So many were jacked up into killing lasers that the UTZ began to manufacture killing lasers instead of stun lasers to combat criminals with the black market altered pieces. Old black market lasers received their nicknames, Jacks, Jags, or Jacks, because they were jacked up. By 2073, UTZ scientists on the moon adapted UIN laser technology to create more powerful laser weapons, improving UIN laser batteries installed earlier on the moon. The UTZ tested the new laser's long-range destructive power by taking out the primary UIN station at L7, New Basra Station. Hundreds of thousands were believed killed. Mars was effectively cut off. Their technology had helped the UIN bases on Mars to be self-sufficient before the huge influx of people resulting from the Muslim exodus from the Earth. By 2073, the UIN Mars bases were strained, filled to capacity, with UIN officials trying hard to expand facilities and keep everyone safe, breathing, and fed. The UIN started an attempt at terraforming Mars with a greenhouse project at the Mars Southern Pole, a project with which to focus the population and generate some hope. It worked to a small degree. The UIN had been covertly running supply ships back to Earth space. Sympathetic private individuals used to help resupply the Mars holdings with emergency rations. New Basra had been the base for that activity near Earth. With New Basra Station gone, supply ships coming back down the Magloop Highway flew right into a UTZ ambush. One by one, UIN supply ships were taken and held by UTZ forces. This embargo lasted for a year. After a year, the UTZ decided the UIN was weak and dying on Mars. The UTZ sent in shock troops, riding in confiscated UIN supply ships. The starving, surviving Mars colonists, seeing supply ships finally landing again on Mars, flocked to their spaceport, thinking they were saved. The ships landed and were surrounded by colonists. But this was no resupply run. The hatches of the supply ships opened, and UTZ shock troops poured out, weapons firing. The smell of burnt meat filled the air as UTZ lasers ripped through the startled crowd, slicing and burning. No, not a resupply run. This was a massacre. The UTZ troops emptied off the repurposed UIN ships, firing, mowing down colonists indiscriminately. It was Christmas Day, 2074. After the initial landing action, Mars's main base was taken in 3 days. Word of the victory and the Christmas Day massacre filtered back to Earth's base to a mixed reception. By the new year, Mars Colony was under firm UTZ control, but victory had a cost. The PTC withdrew from the UTZ immediately, citing their sickness at the brutality of the takeover. The PTC renamed itself the Pacific Alliance. The UIN had fallen, but pockets of UIN support remained, spread out all over the Earth, orbit, Moon, and Mars. Most were cut off from each other, or had shaky ties at best. That was the 2070s in our Archmage's History of the Future on Glow in the Dark Radio. And the UTZ seems firmly in charge. We shall see. We have one more installment to come in the Archmage's History of the Future. Next episode, we're going to cover the 2080s, the 2090s, all the way up through 2109, which is when Vatican Assassin begins. So that's coming up on our next episode. One more installment of the Archmage's History of the Future on Glow in the Dark Radio. A reminder that the Alibi Jones first novel, the audiobook, is free for a limited time. You can get that free. All except for at Audible. They don't play along nicely with this. Vatican Assassin is also free. The ebook, in this case, is also free. The 15th anniversary edition ebook. Although, again, Amazon not playing nicely, so it's not free there. It's 99 cents. But I am working with Amazon on The Adventures of Alibi Jones Chronological Omnibus. That is out now at Amazon. and for your Kindle. More details are at glowinthedarkradio.com on all of that. And if you'd like to support the podcast, which would be awesome, you can do so for $2, $5, or $10 a month by becoming a patron and going to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, or just go to glowinthedarkradio.com and click on the link to Patreon. And that is all for this week's episode. Again, we'll wrap up our history of the future on the next installment of Glow in the Dark Radio. Thank you for listening. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2021 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and mikeluoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.